Welcome back to another episode of Finance with Fernando. I am your host, Fernando the Mortgage Maverick Acuna, here today with a special guest, Raheem Schillingford from Vision Alliance Realty Incorporated. I had to add that. Raheem is here as one of my guests, and we're just going to talk about the market. We're going to start with an intro. Go ahead.
Thank you for that intro, Fernando. My name is Raheem.
Two H's,
that's correct. I've been in business for about 5 years now, right out of college. Coming up on those 5-year reunion.
Great.
My family has independent brokerages located in the Bronx.
Cool.
I do most of my business from the Bronx all the way up to Dutchess County.
Great.
Mainly working with first-time home buyers, and I find myself working with families as well.
Very cool.
Thank you.
So today I included Raheem, as I do with some other professionals, simply because I want your take on what's happening in the market. We're going to talk a little bit about rates, but I'm going to start with a comparison, right? So it's 2022. You've been doing this for you said going on 5 years. What do you see the main differences from 2020 to 2022 as far as your, I mean, 5 years is a lot of time, right?
Yes.
I've been doing this over a decade, and I just see we're in that cycle of every 4 years right now with housing rates and kind of inventory. But what do you think the main difference is from 2 years ago to today?
From 2 years ago from today, you know, we're still hearing about the rates. Back then, they were obviously very low, so making it more incentive for buyers to purchase and making it easier for them to purchase. Now we've got those climbing rates. Also, we're seeing, talking about bidding wars, you know, I think it's the average is still, you know, 3 to maybe 5 offers on each listing, making it still a seller's market.
Yep.
But, you know, it's you can go give or take depending on the area, depending on the home. You just never know what you're going to get. Still hearing stories about, you know, 50, 60, 100 over, which we were seeing in 2020. But, you know, I think it is starting to trend in the favor of buyers again, maybe, you know, later this year. But I just think it's crazy still.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think it's tough to make a clear decision what is actually going to happen.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think anyone knows.
Yeah. I don't think anyone knows.
I mean, at this point, you know, we have a lot of people talking about a crash or correction, right? That's like the trending term is crash or correction. My take on it, and I said this on some other videos, is I think a correction is due. But a crash, when I think crash, I think 2008. I think a major meltdown in an industry. What do you think? What's your take on it?
I completely agree. I definitely definitely hear crash, correction, and I think most people outside scope looking in are thinking more towards crash. But like you said, lenders and other real estate professionals know that it's trending more towards a correction due to the fact that lenders are doing more to make sure buyers are,
you know, checks and balances.
Yes, they are vented. They can afford the home that they're getting into, and it's not going to have those crazy drop-offs that we saw.
I agree with you. And I think what's happening, and maybe you could kind of give me some insight on this, what I've seen with my clients, you mentioned about overbidding on homes. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, right? Because as consumers, we control all of our own money, right? If you are in need of a pack of gum, right? And that pack of gum, for some reason, is in low supply, and you want to spend $3 on a pack of gum, which is normally a dollar, you may splurge, right? And buy a pack of gum. What I want your input in, input on, is how do you feel about waiving some of the contingencies? And I've done this with some real estate agents and some other real estate attorneys and gotten their feedback. Are you comfortable with people waiving their contingencies? Do you think they just have to do it? Are you like educating them and allowing them to kind of figure it out? That's probably the best thing.
Yeah, right? Definitely educating them, making them, allowing them to make that final decision. One thing I tell my clients, it's like, I really hate to tell you that you have to go up on this house, especially working with a first time buyer. There's not a lot of capital for them to have that wiggle room. They necessarily might not get the home if they waive that appraisal.
And it's emotional.
Yes,
right?
It's very emotional, very emotional. And, you know, depending on the market, you're spending, you know, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $500,000 Like, wow, can I go up more? So it's not a bad thing, but if you can do it and you feel comfortable doing it, then, you know, you have to advise them as so. But if you have, you just got to find the right property if you don't feel as comfortable.
Yeah.
And depending on the time frame that you have.
I've been telling my clients, if it's meant to be, it'll be. I don't know if that's the right wording for it, but, you know, we mentioned the word emotional. And I think what happens is, and anyone who's watching this has some form of insight of real estate, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're a consumer looking to buy or refinance a home or a professional in our industry, you know, I just feel like it's overly emotional for everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of clients think it's only they're the ones taking on the emotion. And that's the truth when the majority of the emotion is on the consumer, right? Yeah. But it's emotional for us as well, right? Because we've been serving this therapist role, you know, with offers or on financing. You know, I have clients who were pre-approved, you know, let's say 2 months ago at 3.5%. Now the rate's 5.5%. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can no longer afford that $600,000 house. Now you're capped at 500. And they're like, what do you mean? I've been looking at $600,000 homes, you know? So I think that's something that's important to realize is that it's ever changing and mm-hmm. we're kind of rolling with the punches, right?
Yeah.
So another aspect of what we do and something I wanted to ask you, because we just started our relationship not too long ago, mm-hmm. right? It was maybe a few months ago you and I connected.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say this, but I don't remember how we connected. I think, I know exactly. It was, we had a joint colleague that we kind of knew mm-hmm. and we ended up just communicating. Similar to Raheem, I always look for good people to do business with, whether they're clients, business professionals. It's hard to find good people in today's society, right? Mm-hmm. So when we linked up, what I liked about you was you were driven, number one. He went out of his way to contact me, which was great, you know, which doesn't happen often. Usually I'm the one who's engaging and, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. But also your age really was motivating to see, you mm-hmm. know, because our industry, and I'm sure you could agree, it's an older industry. Mm-hmm. There's a really, really difficult entry point into our industry. Like, you know, I didn't go to college and say, I want to help people finance real estate. It just didn't happen. It kind of evolved after I graduated. And with your parents owning their own brokerage, I'm sure that was kind of in the back of your mind, but you were a football player, right? You're also coaching right now, football.
Correct.
So you're always like pro sports. What did you go to college for?
I did a business management.
Okay. So you always like had that business mindset.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. So like, you know, the thing that I want to ask you, being that you have, you know, almost 5 years experience under your belt, I think we've communicated well, but what do you think is ideal when you're working with other professionals on a mm-hmm. transaction? And it's important anyone listening to kind of take notes on this section, because I think there is value here, right?
Yeah.
A lot of my clients, when I speak with them, they have their own agent. You know, or some of them ask me for a recommendation. I always say, listen, I'm not trying to sell you on a specific professional. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm trying to sell you on is communication, experience, and making this whole process go a lot simpler, you know, a simplistic process. So what have you experienced working with other lenders prior to creating a relationship with me on that communication and kind of partnering up? What have you seen that's really good about doing that? You know?
Yeah, obviously the biggest thing that I pride my business on is, and just my life, is integrity and doing right by.
It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, doing right by the client, obviously. And the other business professionals and, you know, the kind of lives, and we talked about emotion and everything going on there. Because you have, talking about sports and teams, you have so many people trying to drive at one goal. And sometimes those emotions kind of might butt heads.
Yep.
You know, we're trying to get the same way, get to the same spot, but emotions might bring us back.
Yeah.
But communication is definitely number one. And we talked about it before, just being able to, hey, Fernando, I need this for such and such person.
Yeah.
I'll get it over to you. I'm doing this right now, but I'll get it over to you when I'm done.
I agree.
And understanding that you're not writing me off. You're busy.
Yep.
You're also working, but you're going to get it to me.
It's a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what is typically overlooked in business is everyone wants to be the superstar,
mm-hmm.
right? The mortgage guy wants to be, or the mortgage girl wants to be the superstar.
Yeah.
The real estate agent wants to be, you know, we all have reputational risk,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think what's important throughout this process is when you're working with a team, and how many times have you guys have heard me say, choose your real estate team wisely?
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what hits home on it, you
exactly.
know, because you're going to get the focused individuals that make sure that everything is done right by you. That also being said, and hopefully you guys love this, what do you think about where maybe something in the team, like what's your experience where things have gone wrong? Do you have a specific story? I have one, but do you have one? I mean, I have a couple stories.
Like, you know, like I said, I'm 5 years in. So what I might be horribly wrong for me is probably just a fraction for what you might have seen or experienced. But yeah, I just think when you
it's been
don't
a tough
have
5 years. It's been I mean, half of it has been COVID.
Yes, that is true. you know, I think half of it is just when you don't have that communication. You don't want. I resent calling the lender. I resent calling the attorney.
Yeah.
And now the client suffers, or you know, more so, I suffer because of the guilt or the shame that you're trying to hide.
Well, I think people don't realize that, like, we're not paid to wake up in the morning, right?
No.
Well, seriously.
No,
I mean,
yeah,
like, you know, and what I mean by that is that no one's writing us a check just to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of people in this world have that. They have a salary, they have an hourly wage. They're getting that check. Even if you show up, you could be half asleep, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have that. We have to wake up. We got to vet people out. We have to vet business professionals. We have to vet clients out, make sure everything is okay. Everything's moving smooth. We have Google reviews. We have Zillow reviews. Yes. We have all these reviews about our reputation. We have social media outlets. You know, we're in the eyes of the public, right?
Yeah.
So we have to make sure everything moves smoothly. I'll tell you guys a quick story, and maybe you can relate to this. So the lender in every transaction, when stuff starts going sideways, is, I feel like, the scapegoat. Maybe that's just me being emotional. I don't know. But, but you know, the lender is obviously the epicenter of the transaction, because if a client's financing a home, I have to help them get that money to close, right? And they can't close without that money. I've just seen throughout my years of doing this where that lack of communication, like when I tell clients what I do or I tell family and friends, I'm like, I set expectations and I communicate. Finance is part of that whole ordeal, and math is part of that. But if I'm not setting expectations and communicating, it's just all going to fall apart. So there are so many stories, and it's happened on multiple occasions, where I don't have this with you as an agent or with an attorney, and then all of a sudden everything just crumbles.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I could say about Raheem is, I mean, you communicate, man, like throughout the entire day, you know, it's like, you know, like even when we were planning this, it was like, all right, you know, what should I talk about? What should I wear? Where am I going? But I love it, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've had some people that come on the show and they're just like, they're like, they just show up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine. We're just going to talk about some stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you're organized and you're concise and you kind of, you know,
I try
you're
to.
Planning it, you know? Yeah,
I try to.
It's important.
Yeah.
So I think the story that I've experienced so many times throughout my career is that lack of communication. Everything falls apart. The lender ends up turtling someone in my position, and they just stop responding to everyone. Everyone goes dark, and it's just a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
So that's my horror story. That's probably the worst case scenario that either of us could experience. Where could people find you? Are you on Instagram? You on Facebook?
I am on Instagram.
Okay.
My Instagram handle is raheem.shillingford18.
Two H's in Raheem.
Two H's, exactly.
What about Facebook?
Facebook, Raheem Shillingford.
Okay.
Also on there is Vision Alliance Realty.
Okay, cool.
There as well. We got a page.
So you, like you said earlier, you mainly focus on the Bronx up to Dutchess County.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite town? Everyone wants to know.
My favorite town.
What's your favorite area, let's say? Is it Northern Westchester? Is it Putnam?
I would like to say, you know, Northern Westchester and Putnam, like the Manpack, Carmel, Paw Valley area.
Cool. Because you grew up in Putnam.
Yeah, I grew up in Paw Valley, so I'm very familiar with the area and the town itself, being able to provide good value for the clients that I serve in those areas.
Check him out. His football experience, I think, is really important, that integrity part, that dignity, you know, bringing that into business. I love that, right?
Yeah.
Military background, sports background. Anything where you had to have some form of discipline, I think really bleeds well when it comes to business.
And accountability. Yeah.
I'm super happy we met, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for reaching out.
Appreciate it.
Dude, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course.
Anything else you want to say to the audience while you're here?
Not off the top of my head.
Buy some real estate. Let's do it. You have two great guys here to help you. Once again, Finance with Fernando. I'm your host, Fernando DeCunha, the Mortgage Maverick. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for watching.